الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and has brought us into existence. And has brought us into existence from non-existence. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا And after creating us, and just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the entire universe. And time is also the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why I come to the hadith, sometimes the effect, which many of us in the habit of saying that times are bad. It comes to the hadith that we shouldn't say this. We shouldn't say times are bad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one that has created time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some chooses, just as He chooses some people over others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Anbiya alayhi salam. None of them had a, because of their piety, or because of their lineage, or because of something else, they became Anbiya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Anbiya alayhi salam. Nobody can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why He chose this person. Why didn't you choose that person to become the Nabi? And from all the Anbiya alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the best, the most beloved of all Anbiya alayhi salam, the greatest of all Anbiya alayhi salam. Likewise, when it comes to places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara, Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabawi, Masjid al-Aqsa, over all other lands. Nobody can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Outwardly, Mukarramah is a barren land. Nothing grows there. Completely dry. No greenery. Very little water. Very little means of survival. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Makkah Mukarramah to be the best of lands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Makkah Mukarramah to be where the Kaaba is situated. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Madinah Munawwara to be the resting place of Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be the place of the hijrat of Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nobody can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why He chose this land, why He didn't choose that land. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses certain times of the year. From the 12 months of the year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the month of Ramadan and gave it special virtue over all the other months of the year. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the month of Ramadan to send on the Quran al-Majid. As we know, the Quran came to Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bit by bit, little at a time, sometimes one ayat, sometimes one short surah, or sometimes a few ayat. But the Quran is in its entirety was sent down from the Lohe Mahfuz, from the protected tablet, to the skies of the earth in the month of Ramadan. And from there it came down bit by bit. And like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, month of Ramadan, to send all other, many other scriptures, many of the kitabs of the past, the Torah to Musa alayhi salam, the Zabur to Dawud alayhi salam, Injil to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and other scriptures also sent to Anbiya alayhi salam and Rusul on this, in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. The famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, related by Hazrat Ka'ab bin Ujra radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the minbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the masjid and commanded every sahaba radiallahu anhu, come close. When sahaba radiallahu anhu came close, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the minbar. When he took the first step, he said, Ameen. When he took the second step, he said, Ameen. And when he took the third step, he said, so Sahaba radiallahu anhu were curious, something we had never witnessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing before. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down from the minbar, they asked him, that when you went up to the minbar this time, then you did something strange that you did not do before. You said Ameen every time you took a step. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Jibreel alayhi salam came to me, and he cursed that person who got the month of Ramadan and did not get forgiven in the month of Ramadan. He was there during the month of Ramadan and he did not get forgiven in the month of Ramadan. As a juncture, like you point out, once Hazrat Mawlana Harun Rahmatullah Ali mentioned a very important point. He said that if a person wants the barakat of Makkah Mukarramah, he has to be in Makkah Mukarramah. Person wants the barakat of Medina Munawwara, he has to be in Medina Munawwara to get that special barakat of Makkah and Medina Munawwara. He has to be in that special land. But the month of Ramadan is such that it will reach you wherever you are. The person is in South Africa, he will get Ramadan. Person is in Makkah or Medina, he will get Ramadan. Person is in Timbuktu or in China or Japan or America or wherever, whichever part of the world he is, even if he's in Arctic somewhere or Antarctic somewhere, the remotest part of the world he can be in. But the month of Ramadan will reach him there also. And the barakat of the month of Ramadan will reach him there also. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us, this is a month of barakat, this is a month of rahmat. This is a great month. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he went up the first, when he took the first step of the minbar, he said, Ameen. Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and said, and he cursed that person who got the month of Ramadan, but did not get forgiven in the month of Ramadan. Then when I took the second step, Jibreel alayhi salam cursed that person who my name was mentioned in front of him, but he did not send durood upon me. Who my name was taken before him, but he did not send durood upon me. And the third step when I took, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and he cursed that person who his two parents, his parents achieve old age in front of him, or one of his parents achieve old age before him, and through serving them he did not get forgiven. And when Jibreel alayhi salam cursed that person also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen. All three of these situations are such that it is the opportunity is there. It is very, very easy in that situation to get forgiven, to achieve the maximum. But the most unfortunate is that person who, when these three situations arise in front of him, he does not take the maximum benefit and he does not get forgiven. The first, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he took the first step, he said, that person, may that person be cursed who got the month of Ramadan and did not get forgiven in this month. Because this is a month of forgiveness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, awwaluhu rahmah, the first part of the month of Ramadan is a month of rahmat. The middle 10 days of the month of Ramadan are the days of maghfirat. These are the days that we are in. And the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan are the days when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves and emancipates on the fire of Jahannam people, a great number of people, large numbers of people. And not only in the middle 10 days of Ramadan, any time during the month of Ramadan, this is a time of taking from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a time of asking for forgiveness. In fact, it comes in the hadith that on a daily basis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees great number of people from the fire of Jahannam. And opportunities are there at all times during this month of Ramadan to get ourselves forgiven, to get our souls freed from the fire of Jahannam. Man fattara sa'iman, but person who gives a fasting person something to break his fast, it is a means of the forgiveness of his sins. It is a means of saving his soul from the fire of Jahannam. And that person's, and whatever reward he got for his fast, whatever reward that person achieved for his fast, you will get the same reward. And that person's reward will not be decreased in the least bit. That person who makes it easy for his subordinates, for his slaves, for his workers, he gives them less duties to do, or makes them work less hours because they are fasting. This is also a means of his forgiveness. When a person breaks his fast, that is a time when du'as are accepted. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that du'as are accepted of a fasting person the entire day. And there is one du'a of a fasting person every day that is definitely accepted. One du'a of a fasting person is definitely accepted during the day. Any time of the day he is fasting. But the most important time for making du'a is just before iftar. And du'a, we may think a person, a person's du'a getting accepted means that he will get whatever he asks for. Ulama explained to us that when a person's du'as are accepted, they are accepted in one of three ways. One of three manners a person's du'as are accepted. One is, if a person asks for something, he will get exactly what he had asked for. Or, he will, because of his making this du'a, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove some calamity that was about to befall him. Something was going to happen, some calamity was going to befall him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the calamity from him. Or, thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward for this fast, for this du'a. The du'a that he made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward for it on a day of Qiyamah. And when he will see the great reward for making du'a and asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he see the great reward in Akhirat, he would have this wish that none of my what I had asked for in this world was granted to me, and all my du'as were reserved for me in the Akhirat. So this great opportunity a person has, at every turn, there are opportunities for him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And the shayateen are chained in this month. So there are two things generally that drive a person to do wrong and guna. One is the shaitans, shayateen that encourage him to do wrong. And one is the nafs. And in this month, both of these are, so to say, held back for him. The shaitan is tied up. The shayateen, especially the rebellious shayateen, the worst of the shayateen, are chained up so that they do not encourage him to do wrong. That is why we see in this month of Ramadan that those people who habitually do wrong and commit gunas and sins openly, they will have a little bit of shame in this month, and they will stay away from those sins also. And the second thing that drives a person to do gunas is a person's nafs and carnal desires. And by fasting in the month of Ramadan, It weakens a person's body and weakens a person's carnal desires. So it encourages a person, helps a person to do good, helps a person to stay away from evil. Now even if in this situation, when a person is in the month of Ramadan, when a person, the shayateen are chained, a person is fasting in the month of Ramadan, or if you're not fasting in the month of Ramadan, whatever, but if a person is not granted forgiveness, if a person is not granted forgiveness after having all those opportunities, then this person is a great loser. And this person gets the curse of Jibreel alayhi salam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam. And second, is that person who durood, who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is mentioned before him, and he does not send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How unfortunate is that person? Such a great opportunity to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ihsan and the good that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done to us is limitless. We cannot quantify how much of good and ihsan Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done to us. And when his name is taken before us, al-bakhilu man dhukirtu indahu falam yusalli alayhi, the most stingy, most miserly person is that person whom my name is taken before him and he does not send durood upon me. The shortest durood, easiest durood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever we hear the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether we are sitting in a bayan, or sometime we are listening to some talk on the radio, on the tape, on a CD, wherever. Whenever the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken, then we should say, the minimum we can recite is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third most unfortunate person is that person who either one of his parents or both of his parents achieve old age before him, and by serving them, he does not enter into Jannah. But by not serving them, he is deprived from entering into Jannah. How unfortunate is that person? So, respected brothers, these opportunities are there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the month of Ramadan. We have no guarantee that we will see the end of the month of Ramadan. There is no guarantee that we will see another month of Ramadan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. That person who fasts in the month of Ramadan with iman and hoping for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some people that fast without iman. They are not Muslims, but because of some environment, the family in the house are Muslims, they are fasting or whatever, they fast. But that fast is not accepted because it is not done with iman. So a person fasts in a state of iman and hoping for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. All his previous sins will be forgiven. مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. That person who stands up in Tarawih Salah in the month of Ramadan, إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا, hoping for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with iman. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. All his previous sins will be forgiven. That person who stands up in ibadat on Laylatul Qadr with iman and hoping for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all his previous sins will be forgiven. Respected brothers, now we are coming closer towards the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept Laylatul Qadr. Whatever has passed, let us ask Allah subhanahu of this month, let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. We did not fulfill the right, and it's not, and we can never fulfill the right of this great month of Ramadan, but the few days that are left, more than half the month of Ramadan is left, let us take this opportunity to take maximum from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, where Laylatul Qadr is. Let us exert ourselves more and more in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but making effort for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making effort for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know, it is the Mubarak month of Ramadan, the Fatah Makkah took place. The greatest battle of Islam, the battle of Badr, took place in the month of Ramadan. Sahaba radiallahu anhu went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sacrificed and gave their lives in the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we are very fortunate that we have a jamaat here from Islamabad in Pakistan. They have come all the way in this month of Ramadan, when everybody wants to be at home, with all the delicacies, for Seher and Iftar and be at home in luxury. These people have made a sacrifice and come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They come out with their women folk, with their wives. The Mastura Jamaat. The ladies are based at the residence of Mawlana Asad Chauhan, number 7, 4th Avenue. The men are based in the masjid. They will be here with us for 2 days. Let us take this opportunity to benefit from them. Programs will be taking place after every salah. And a special program will take place for the women folk as a residence of Mawlana Asad Chauhan this afternoon. Let us encourage our women folk to go and attend this program. Tomorrow morning also there will be a program at 10:30 to 12 o'clock for the women folk at the house, and also in the afternoon, and the men will be in the masjid. Let us note, inshallah, that on that program that usually takes place for ladies on Sundays in the month of Ramadan, that program has been moved forward to Saturday. So the program for Sunday has been moved forward to Saturday. The ladies' program, inshallah, will take place on Saturday, inshallah. So let us encourage our women folk to attend this program and benefit maximum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.